Welcome to Enabled, the weekly program about people just like you who are dealing with issues of vision loss. The program is designed to encourage you through news you can use, inspirational stories, and interviews. I'm Nancy Zimmer, your host for Enabled. Thank you for joining me. If you have had cataracts removed from your eyes, you know what a miracle it is to be able to see again. Amazing! Today, I will tell you about a program that is performing that same miracle in some of the most remote areas of our world. This is the compelling story of the Himalayan Cataract Project. This comes from the website cureblindness.org, and it's from the section called Our Story, and they label it in chapters. This happens to be chapter one. They title it Transformative, Dare the Impossible. Two visionary eye surgeons, one vision, to eradicate avoidable blindness in Nepal and across the poorest areas in the developing world. Imagine life if you were unable to see. Could you find the toilet, or could you leave in an emergency? Now, imagine you lived in a place where there are no paved roads, no clean water. In our world, 14 million people, more than the entire population of Canada, are blind, unable to perform the daily tasks of living. 90% of the world's visually impaired live in low-income settings. 85% of the blindness on our planet could be cured or could have been prevented. 20 million people are needlessly blind from treatable cataracts. Now imagine, there exists a surgery that can restore perfect sight to these people in 5 minutes for the cost of $25 per surgery. Imagine, we can overcome all the needless blindness in the world. People say it's impossible. Impossible becomes possible with a first step. In 1983, when we set out to climb the east face, that's the Kangshung face of Mount Everest, we were told it was impossible. The lower head wall is 5,000 vertical feet with technical difficulty similar to rock climbing El Capitan with vertical ice at altitude. And we'd be climbing from Tibet with no native support on the mountain whatsoever. So how do you dare to do the impossible? First, you have to put in the years of climbing and training and pushing yourself to the limits. But we were venturing into a realm of technical difficulty that had never been attempted on an 8,000-meter peak. While we may not have been the 12 best individual climbers in America in 1983, there couldn't have been a better team. We shared a passion, commitment, and a willingness to dare the impossible. Success is the result of action, not dreams. On October 8, 1983, we completed the first ascent of the east face of Mount Everest. 31 years later, our route still has never been repeated. So what does this have to do with world blindness? First, the opportunity to climb in Asia and Africa allowed me to witness firsthand the consequences of extreme poverty on health and the disparity in healthcare systems throughout the world. My focus was already on global health by the time I matriculated at medical school. But I also got to know Sir Edmund Hillary, who liked it at base camp on the east face of Mount Everest with us. And Edmund Hillary is one of my heroes, not so much for what he's done in the climbing and exploration realm, but for what he has given back, building schools and hospitals for the people of Nepal. I had the opportunity to work as a doctor at one of the hospitals that Sir Edmund Hillary built. Many of the problems I faced were public health issues, problems of poverty. I watched children dying of diarrhea and pneumonia, and things that would be so easy to treat in the Western world. I also had the opportunity to see the impact of blindness. In the village where I lived, it was just accepted that you grew old, your hair turned white, your eyes turned white, and then you died. I saw the effects that blindness had on the people. They became shriveled, depressed. The life expectancy of people once a person goes blind in the developing world is reduced by one-third in comparison to that of healthy peers. For blind children, the fate is much worse. and the devastation of blindness extends beyond the individual to the family and the community, because it takes an additional able-bodied person out of the workforce to take care of the blind person, or a child out of school to lead their father around by a stick. Another expression for a blind person in Nepal is a mouth with no hands. When I was in Nepal, I watched a Dutch team come in and perform cataract surgery, taking out the cloudy lens and putting in a lens implant. That not only restored sight, it restored life to the people in the village. One day after surgery, people were straightening up and blossoming. They looked 20 years younger. I returned to America, trained as an ophthalmologist, did advanced training in complex cataract surgery and corneal transplant surgery. And then I returned to Nepal to work with Dr. Sanduk Ruwet, my elder brother and the genius behind everything we have been able to accomplish. Sanduk was born in a small hill village, 4 days' walk from the nearest road. He went on, started school at age 8 in Darjeeling in India, earned scholarships to the best institutions in India, trained as an ophthalmologist in India, then did fellowships first in the Netherlands and then Australia. He returned to Nepal with a full knowledge of absolute state-of-the-art Western eye care and the best Western eye surgery. And he began to imagine, how could you bring the same top-quality care to the poorest of the poor in Nepal at an affordable cost? Prior to Dr. Ruwet returning to Nepal, all of the cataract surgery performed in Asia and in Africa for poor people was a very crude operation where we would basically splice the eye in half and remove the whole lens. If the eye survived that surgery, patients would then be issued these thick Coke bottle-like lenses that in the best of circumstances would give distorted vision. The cataract is the clouding of the proteins in the eye, in the lens of the eye, which is just behind the pretty colored part of the eye called the iris. In modern cataract surgery, we make a small incision in the eye wall. It is self-healing. Open the outer capsule of what they call the peanut M&M and take out all of the cloudy proteins, clean the capsule out, and put a clear lens implant into the lens capsule. Dr. Ruwet had already developed a system with eye care delivery in which the quality, sterility, and infection rates were the same as we have in the best centers in the West. But when Dr. Ruwet returned to Nepal, the least expensive lens implant on the world market was $200. Well, that's more than the average yearly income of a Nepali citizen. Dr. Ruwet had the genius to team up with an Australian ophthalmologist named Fred Hollows, and he raised the funds to start the first low-cost intraocular lens factory in the world, which was built in Kathmandu, right next to our eye center. The lenses made in that factory are exactly the same quality as what I put into patients in America, but these cost $4 a lens. Dr. Ruwet developed a technique of doing the same quality eye surgery that I do for $3,000 in the United States without the expensive machines, using locally manufactured material for $20. I came to Nepal and I worked side by side with Dr. Ruwet, and in 3 days we restored sight to 224 people. Dr. Ruwet did 201 surgeries, while I did 23. The results were absolutely incredible. About 80% of our patients could see well enough to be able to pass the American driving test 1 day after surgery. With this system, a single doctor in Nepal can provide more than 100 sight-restoring cataract surgeries in a day. Prior to when we started, no one in rural Nepal knew they could have their sight restored, so people didn't really come in for surgery. It became a matter of education and teaching as well, not just the doctors, but really creating the whole system. A primary eye care system with primary eye centers dotted throughout the hills of Nepal, referring to cataract centers throughout Nepal. And then we have our great subspecialty full-service eye hospital, the Tilganga Institute of Ophthalmology in Kathmandu. We also developed a cost recovery model. We have the elite of Nepal pay for their services in Nepal, which provides a subsidy to provide free care for the poor. By engaging the powerful, we are able to give great care for free to the powerless. And we go beyond just teaching a man to fish. We are teaching fleets of fishermen to cast their nets widely. And through quality, which is really the essential ingredient, we teach them how to sell the fish. And we've begun to actually reach the poorest of the poor. When we started, there were more blind people from cataracts in the Himalayas than there are people in the entire state of Wyoming. Now, Nepal, the poorest country in South Asia, went from having 15,000 cataract surgeries performed per year in 1994 to 300,000 cataract surgeries in 2013. The rate of blindness in Nepal has dropped from one blind person to 100 to less than 0.02%. People wonder, how good is the quality? What are these people really seeing right away after surgery? Well, we performed a prospective randomized trial, bringing a marquee surgeon from America, David Chang, who's a professor at the University of California, San Francisco. We brought him to Nepal. One of our big ophthalmic pharmaceuticals reconstructed his entire operating room in Los Gatos, California, into a monastery in Nepal. He and Dr. Ruwet operated side by side, and the only difference in results were the cost and the speed. Dr. Ruwet was 3 times faster and 10 times less expensive. At the point of 1 year, we have a 99% success rate. Imagine, in the time it took for you to read this, 2 surgeons working in Nepal could have restored sight to 6 people for a cost of under $200. It's time to dare to do the impossible. We have a great team. We need more people with passion, more people with commitment. In the world of global health, there are few areas where we can absolutely win. We can win this. Helen Keller said, "Because I cannot do everything, I will not refuse to do something I can do." Eliminating unnecessary blindness is something we can do. Imagine. So now we move on to what they call Chapter 2. And this, once again, is from the cureblindness.org, Our Story. Chapter 2, Innovative. $25, 10 minutes, one life changed forever. On vision and the miracle of sight. Eye care is one of the great challenges of the 21st century. Some 50 million people in the world suffer in needless darkness. The vast majority of them will remain blind until they die. And the thing is, 90% of this blindness could have been easily prevented or treated. Fully half of treatable blindness stems from cataracts, where inexpensive, minutes-long surgery could restore perfect sight. Numerous studies have shown that sight restoration with cataract surgery is among the most cost-effective intervention in all of public health care. If only the blind could get access. If only someone could find a way to them. Dr. Sanduk Ruwet, co-founder of the Himalayan Cataract Project, was born in a remote mountain village at 10,000 feet in eastern Nepal. His father was a merchandise trader. At 7, Dr. Ruwet left home to study in India. He eventually went on to medical school in Delhi, specializing in ophthalmology and microsurgery. Working as a medical officer on a team mapping Nepal's northern border, he saw the staggering extent of treatable blindness. Here's a quote he says, "In every village, I'd find people blinded by cataracts, stranded in darkness." The experience moved him to act. He met Australian ophthalmologist Dr. Fred Hollows, who became his mentor and helped make his life goal clear, restore eyesight to people who were unnecessarily blind. Before the early 1990s, almost all the cataract surgeries in Nepal consisted of a machine-intensive extraction in which the entire lens and capsule were removed from the eye, and the patient was subsequently given some thick eyeglasses that lacked peripheral vision and created distorted direct vision. The procedures were time-consuming and expensive. Dr. Ruwet developed a microsurgery technique that was life-changing in its efficiency and simplicity. Using nothing more than a microscope, a customized cutting tool, and a tiny plastic intraocular lens, Dr. Ruwet perfected a one-time sutureless cataract removal procedure that completely restored a patient's sight in less than 10 minutes, with no more follow-up required than a night of bandages and the use of eye drops. The procedure could be performed in remote areas in improvised settings with local materials, limited inputs, and extraordinary results comparable to outcomes in Western medicine. The challenge was the cost. When Dr. Ruwet began his work, a single plastic intraocular lens cost close to $200. The price made the lenses and cataract surgery out of reach of the poor. Dr. Ruwet's research determined that the raw material needed to make each lens cost only 60 cents, and that is in U.S. dollars. Their high cost came from manufacturing companies making huge profits. In 1995, with the help of Australia's Fred Hollows Foundation, he established a not-for-profit lens factory in Nepal, capable of manufacturing high-quality lenses at a cost of only $4 each. That factory now produces more than 300,000 units annually of these low-cost intraocular lenses and makes them available in more than 60 countries. These low-cost lenses became the cornerstone of the Himalayan Cataract Project's ability to bring affordable cataract surgeries to impoverished regions across Nepal and throughout Asia and Africa. Over time, HCP, as it's called, the Himalayan Cataract Project, HCP has developed a cost recovery pricing formula for its surgeries designed to ensure that all poor patients receive cataract surgery for a minimal cost of $25. That's in U.S. dollars. In the world of public health, there are very few ways to change a life more dramatically or more cheaply. To patients, the overnight transformation from darkness to light is nothing short of a miracle. So the next chapter we're going to be reading is Chapter 4, called Global, Moving Mountains, Eye Surgeons Making a Difference. And this is from the website cureblindness.org. It's about the Himalayan Cataract Project. Eye Surgeons Making a Difference. The work began ambitiously enough in the mountainous Himalayas, a vast remote region with an alarmingly high rate of cataract blindness. The goal of eradicating as much unnecessary blindness as possible in our lifetime has since spread far beyond the Himalayas. Beginning with just two eye surgeons, the Himalayan Cataract Project now funds and facilitates education, training, and equipment for local eye care professionals across Asia and sub-Saharan Africa. Together with its partners, the HCP, and that's the Himalayan Cataract Project, has screened and examined more than 5.2 million patients from 16 countries, and they have provided over 445,000 surgeries. Our surgeons and nurses and their teams have proven that hospital quality, even world-class standards, can be applied in the world's poorest areas, no matter where they're located. Their inventive approach and dogged perseverance have made possible what 20 years ago was considered impossible. At the core of HCP's work is an audacious goal to achieve high-quality, low-cost eye care that can be sustained in the developing world for the long term. Today, the Himalayan Cataract Project reaches the most unreachable patients wherever its services are needed through a combination of teaching ophthalmic care at all levels, advancing specialized care through training and skills transfer country by country, scaled to local needs to ensure that sustainable eye care is in place for the long term, and also establishing self-sustaining eye care centers and performing sutureless cataract operations at a low cost with excellent outcomes, often in remote rural communities, available to anyone, regardless of his or her ability to pay. We can cure 18 million blind people. In America, we have one eye surgeon for every 18,000 people. In much of Africa, there is barely one ophthalmologist per million people. But we have taken the first step. Quality, high-volume surgery has spread from mountainous Asia into India, Bhutan, and into Tibet. We are bringing the system to Africa. We are using our base in Nepal to train doctors from Africa and all over Asia. We have established training centers in Ghana and Ethiopia. And as we're teaching and expanding, it's important to keep in mind that although statistics say the number of blind people on our planet is still overwhelming, as we work, we are curing people. Each person is not a statistic. They are individual people who are having their sight restored 100%. They are receiving the gift not only of sight, but of a return to life. And the final chapter that we're going to be reading from this website is called Life Changing, The Other Side of the Lens. This was written by Ace Cavalli. He was a photographer for Outside Magazine. He says, in 2004, I met with Rob Haggart at Outside Magazine, and I hit him up with the idea that we highlight this American doctor doing cataract surgeries. I originally knew Jeff Tabin, and he's the other doctor involved in this project. He says, I originally knew Jeff Tabin by reputation through climbing because he was the fourth person to have climbed the seven summits. Outside Magazine had sent me to photograph him in Sikkim in 2004. Jeff is one of those people who changes people's lives through these eye surgeries. But he's also a person who has this incredible energy and can just get things done. He believed more in the mission statement than his personal agenda or making money. I really fell under that spell. Working with him has really become one of my life's projects, photographing these eye surgical camps around the world. I've been on 6 eye camp journeys in 5 countries, Sikkim, Nepal, Ethiopia, Rwanda, and South Sudan. Dr. Jeff Tabin and the other doctors are always looking for the newest, wildest place to go and do their work, because these places are often fairly neglected when it comes to eye care. These doctors are a different breed. They're like climbers. They want to go to new places that are a little wilder, a little woolier. They are mainly interested in giving care in places that have little or no eye care. They partnered with John Dow, one of the Lost Boys of Sudan, who lives in Syracuse, New York, who opened a clinic in South Sudan. This gave them a place to go in the South Sudan where they could fashion an operating theater, have some generator power, and use some school rooms as structures to work in. We tried to go 2 years ago to John Dow's clinic, but some violence flared up. We went in December of 2011 during the dry season. The Himalayan Cataract Project funds me to go on 2 trips a year, and the one to the South Sudan all came together late in the year. We flew into Nairobi and then took little Cessnas into South Sudan. We had 3 doctors with us, and they did about 300 surgeries in a week. It was kind of like a MASH unit, where you set up and everything happens. We all ate, slept, and worked in the same areas. And even though the doctors did the bulk of the work, everyone was expected to help. I helped out in the operating room. I gave patients steroids and antibiotic drops. I brought equipment in and out. Even though I was the photographer, I was expected to help with the flow of things. Jeff Tabin says people have negative flow, medium flow, or positive flow. Positive flow means that you bring a positive vibe to the situation and you help everything work out in the best possible way. This means that you have a sense of humor, you work well in bad situations, and you work well without a lot of sleep. In the South Sudan, we all worked the same hours, about 16 hours a day. Part of the reason I kept getting invited back is because Jeff Tabin thinks that I contribute to the good flow. The eye patients consider me to be like one of the doctors. They're getting their eyes poked at and prodded. They're getting handled in numbers, so the movement of patients is fairly fast. I'm basically another white guy with a camera, so I have access to patients that I wouldn't have normally. I can take photographs at close range because I am as trusted as the doctors are trusted. By the second day, these patients are having their vision restored, and the air of the crowd turns into a happy celebration because they are seeing already. The next patients then are seeing already the joy of their friends who have had their vision restored. And I get to record all of that on the camera. I tend to blend into the celebration. I have access that I normally wouldn't have as just a traveler or a bystander. When I first photographed the eye cataract surgery for Outside Magazine in India and Nepal, I felt a turning point in my career. It was life-changing. The cultures I had come to love through climbing and exploring became the focus of my work. I saw doctors performing miracle work. For real. I am searching out now the humanitarian aid projects wherever I go. There are people doing great work out there. And once again, this was written by Ace Cavalli, K-V-A-L-E, who's a photographer for Outside Magazine. And about all this, there's a book. There's a book called Second Sons, S-U-N-S, Second Sons. It's written by David Oliver Rellin, who happened to be born in Rochester, New York, where this program originates. Second Sons, the title of the book. The book is an unforgettable story of how two men with a shared dream are changing the world one pair of eyes at a time. In this transporting book, they say, David Oliver Rellin shines a light on the work of HCP co-founders Dr. Sanduk Ruwet and Jeff Tabin, who have dedicated their lives to eradicating preventable blindness through the Himalayan Cataract Project. The author Rellin takes us from improvised plywood operating tables in the farthest reaches of Nepal to state-of-the-art surgical centers to village hospitals in Africa, where these driven men are restoring sight and hope to patients around the world. And once again, the name of the book is Second Sons, and it's written by David Oliver Rellin. Post office contact information for the Cure Blindness, the Himalayan Cataract Project. They're based in Waterbury, Vermont. They have a telephone number, area code 802-522-6873. And they have a website called cureblindness.org. And once again, this is the Himalayan Cataract Project, which is working to eradicate preventable and curable blindness through high-quality ophthalmic care, education, and the establishment of a world-class eye care infrastructure. Well, I think we'd better end with that famous quote from Helen Keller that I mentioned earlier. She said, "Because I cannot do everything, I will not refuse to do something that I can do." Thank you for listening, and I hope you have a great week. You've been listening to Enabled, a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. Our technical director is Maureen Rich, and I'm Nancy Zimmer. I hope you'll join me again next week for more updates and information and encouraging stories. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can listen to it at our website, wxxi.org.